We've read this first verse in this passage of Scripture, and it probably means a lot to us because we're just reflecting on what the Lord means to us and how wonderful it is to come into the house of the Lord. I can't wait to get here. You know what I'm saying? On a Wednesday night, a Sunday morning, whenever, I just can't wait to get here. Because number one, I know that God's people is going to be here. And I know the Spirit of God is going to be here. And I know that God is going to speak to my heart. I may be the one speaking, but God's going to speak to my heart. Wonderful things are going to happen. That's the reason why it's of utmost importance that God's people understand how important it is to be in the house of the Lord. Now, this psalm was penned by David, man after God's own heart. And I think we could probably say we're people after David's heart, because we probably more closely, well, I've said it before, we probably more closely align with David than any other character in the Bible. I know we'd like to say we'd be like Paul and like Peter and all that, you know. But I think we more closely align with King David than we do anyone else in the Bible. We should be aligning ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. But as far as just human beings go, David is probably the closest one because of his humble beginning. And he never lost sight of that. His power never went to his head. Well, maybe one time when he took advantage of someone else's wife and went to all the bother covering it up. But David pretty much stayed humble his entire life. He's the only one that God said he's a man after my own heart. We got a lot to learn with that. He's the one to pen this, and this is what he says. I was glad when they said to me, let us, not me, us. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, when it says the house of the Lord, it's not talking about the temple, because there was no temple. There was a tabernacle. And this was penned after David had moved the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, they had some kind of a squabble with the Philistines or something, and it was out of Jerusalem. It was somewhere else, and the Philistines didn't want to have anything to do with that. They got it. It caused them a bunch of trouble. So they shipped it off back into the land of Israel, but it was in the house of Abinadab, I believe it was. And anyway, David went and retrieved it and brought it in to Zion, into Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem. See, his son Solomon expanded Jerusalem. This is the old Jerusalem, Zion. The tabernacle was erected. They brought in the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where they worshiped, and they were extremely overjoyed that the presence of God was there in the holy city. Which I might add, the word Jerusalem and Zion means city of peace. That's really interesting. I'm going to make a comment about that a little bit later, if I remember. You might have to remind me. But he says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We refer to this house as the house of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. That's great. That's wonderful. But I wonder where the excitement is in today's Christianity about coming to God's house, knowing full well that you're going to meet God there. You're going to meet Him in all of His people. You're going to meet Him there. His Spirit indwells all of His people. And those that bother, those that, not, I shouldn't say that, those that want to be here, those where God is number one in their life, those who realize they owe God everything and they want to spend every time that they can in the house of God to be with God's people and hear from God. That you don't get that anywhere else. You got a church of people that love God. Things happen. You see, it's like I said, God has anointed all of us with specific talents and things, and we help each other be all we can be for the glory of God. We help one another. And if you cut yourself off from that, I mean, yeah, you can read your Bible at home. Yes, you've got the Holy Spirit at home. But you see, the thing of it is, God says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I didn't say that. He did, because he knew that we needed each other to encourage one another and to help one another be all we can be for his glory. So yes, I'm glad when they said, let's go to church on a Wednesday night, on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday evening, whenever God's people are gathered together. He's there too. This is his house. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Can you just imagine being so overwhelmed? Your feet, let's just put it this way, your feet is in the house of God right now. Can you think of any better place to be right now? You see, they were overwhelmed because they were in the holy city and the tabernacle was there and the presence of God was there. Where's the enthusiasm with the church today? The presence of God and being in the presence of God's people and being able to praise Him in song, in word, in action, while we're here ministering to each other. Where's the enthusiasm today? Like I said, it's like pulling teeth to get people to come on a Wednesday night. And I'll dare say it again, probably one of the most important days of the week for the church to come together. Because we're able to come together and pray together for the same things. I think we need to make a note in our prayers to pray for the rest of the services during the week. Sunday morning service and Sunday evening service, we need to mention it specifically. We've prayed for the Wednesday night service. Just continue to pray for it. But we need to pray for those other services too. And those people that don't show up here on a Wednesday night, God get a hold of their hearts to help them to understand how important it is to be in the house of the Lord and have some enthusiasm about it. I'm excited. Can you tell? Pastor Andy, can you tell? I'm excited. He's excited. We're excited to be in God's house. We're hearing from God. And we have the unique opportunity as the people of God to come before His throne of grace. Undeserving favor. We have His undeserving favor. Is there anything good you've done today that would get you to the place where you could come before God's throne? I didn't think so. I was saying no before I ever got it out of my mouth. No, but it's because of His grace we're able to do that. Because we're His children. Man, what an opportunity to talk to the Creator and Sustainer of the universe. Our Father, our Savior, who has forever been and will forever be Lord of lords, King of kings, our Father. I'm excited. And I want you to be excited. No better place to be. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. We are standing in the house of God. Your feet are on holy ground, as far as I'm concerned. Wherever God is, that's holy. This is designated a holy place. So we ought to act like it is a holy place. Don't you think? Well, our feet are standing within your gates of Jerusalem. Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together. See, that compact together, it's talking about a smaller version of Jerusalem. Zion, when King David reigned, Solomon expanded Jerusalem into a greater size area with the temple and all. The temple was huge. But that's what it's talking about. Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord. I'm going to back up. Since we're talking about Jerusalem, he's making a big deal about it because that's where God dwelt among his people, is Jerusalem. Zion. Remember what I said about the word Zion and the word Jerusalem means city of peace? Do you know there has been more conflict over who is going to own or have ownership of the city of Jerusalem? There's been more wars fought over the city of Jerusalem than any other city in the world. You want to know something? It still belongs to the children of Israel. It doesn't make any difference what people threaten to do. God said they will own Israel forever. And if God said it, you can bank on it. Has he been right so far? Yes, he has. And he will continue to be. Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes, that's the 12, go up, even the tribes of the Lord. Now you notice it says go up. When you go up, that's an ascent. These are psalms of ascent. These people sang the words to these psalms that we are reading. They sang them. It was set to music. They sang as they went. Did you sing as you was coming to the house of the Lord tonight? It's a good practice. I do that sometimes. My wife says something about it every now and again because I'm humming something or singing something. Or I whistle or just whatever. Because I'm glad when he said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I'm excited. And shouldn't we be praising the Lord? If we can make a joyful noise, if we can whistle or we can sing or whatever it is we can do, just say something to bring him honor and glory, shouldn't we do that? Absolutely. So, to which the tribes go up, they ascend, they sing, even the tribes of the Lord. Do you notice that says the tribes of the Lord? Not the tribes of Judah, not the tribes of Israel. It says the tribes of the Lord. Those people belong to God. We belong to God. We are his, bought and paid for, We haven't been bought and paid for by the blood of bulls and goats, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It says, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel. An ordinance for Israel. Now, do you remember what that word ordinance means? It hasn't been that long ago that we were in Psalm 119. And that word ordinance was mentioned many times. No. Well, it says to the testimonies. Well, this one says to the ordinances. So you keep that in your mind. You got the New King James Version, right? Okay, the testimonies of the Lord of Israel. Read what it says in the New King James. Okay, so what that's talking about, the testimony, it's talking about the Ark of the Covenant. That's what it's talking about in that particular instance. Huh? Yeah. Okay. The word ordinance is used in this. Do you remember what the word ordinance means? You got your little paper with you? That tells what the word ordinance means? It's something that God did as a judge. Verdicts that he has made, whether favorable or unfavorable. Can you tell me if that has anything to do with the two tables of stone in the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant? Can you tell me whether that has anything to do with verdicts that God has made? Well, that's what I'm talking about. So see, the word testimony, that word testimony is talking about the Ark of the Covenant, wherein are the tables of stone, the Ten Commandments. Those are verdicts that God has made, whether favorable or unfavorable, they're for our good and for His glory. Follow me? Okay, now, it says, and yours says testimony, in this it says, an ordinance for Israel. Same thing, basically. It's talking about the same thing. But I want you to remember back about what the word testimony back in the 119th Psalm meant. What did it mean? Testimony. It describes God's will and His word, where He testifies of Himself and His will and His word. Okay? Would you not think that the Ark of the Covenant and the tables of stone fall under that category? The testimonies of God? This is what God said? Absolutely. That's what we live by. The testimony of God. Remember, it also says something about guarding the testimonies of God. We guard them. We treasure them. His word and His will, where He testifies of Himself. His word and His will. It's from cover to cover. He testifies of Himself. His word. His will. So all this works together. The Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God, the law of God. Oh, be quiet. And shut that thing off. Are you joking me? So this is all together. It all means the same thing. The testimonies of God, the ordinance of God. It's for our good, for His glory. Let me go back again. To which the tribes of go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel. It's something that God put in place that they come to the tabernacle at this time 3 times a year. They were required. But they are going with joy in their heart. They're going with singing, making a joyful noise to the Lord because they are excited. To give thanks to the name of the Lord. Pastor Andy, you remember that hymn? You all might remember it too. Come ye thankful people, come. Come ye thankful people, come. And it's talking about being thankful to God for what He has done. When we come into the house of God, we should be thankful. So I'm wondering, how thankful are God's people tonight? The bulk of God's people, how thankful are they? It tells us we need to come with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. That's Psalm 100, part of it. Where are God's people? How thankful really are God's people? I think you will find out in their actions. What do you think? I think they've made it abundantly clear. You've made your intentions abundantly clear. You make your intentions abundantly clear every week, for the most part. Because it's the same people. Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, God knows that too.
Yeah, I know that too, but there are a lot of people in our church that are busy.
Yeah. Yeah, I have there's an acrostic for that. Did you know that?
I don't know what an acrostic is, but
I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
Busy. Bondage under Satan's yoke. How about that? Well, certainly is, and what I'm saying is, you can't convince me that everyone is working right now.
No, I can't do that.
But I understand what you're saying. I used to drive a truck for a living. I know. I could only come to church every other Sunday morning. I know what you're saying. There are people that have to work. I've got that.
Well, what happens is in churches that I was in when I was working, they were coaching me too. How come you don't come to church?
And you'd have to tell them.
Well, I told them so many times, but they still think I had to be there.
Right. Well, you know something? If I knew that you were working as a nurse or whatever on a Wednesday night, and I knew that you were, I wouldn't be asking you why you're not here.
But you ain't really asking anyone why they
weren't here. No. I was just making a statement. I was making a blanket statement. I was just saying that everybody is not working, everybody's not on vacation, or whatever it is else you can do and not be in God's house. You know, that's what I was saying. I mean, out of how many is usually here on a Sunday morning? You know, there's not even half here. So, it was just a statement I was making. Because that's the way it is. Because people's priorities are not in order. The thing of it is, I owe my God everything. My heart won't beat one more time without His blessing. I can't take one more breath without His blessing. I can't do anything without His blessing. And I recognize I don't always do that. If I can be in His house, I'm going to be here. You know what I'm saying? There's some reasons I can't be here. But what I'm saying, for the most part, I'm going to be here. So, I think people need to examine themselves, like the Apostle Paul said, and see where they are in the faith. And recheck their priority list and make sure that God's at the top. Because I don't think that's where he's at. That's my opinion. Okay? It's something to think about, if nothing else. But you're right. People have to work. Yeah, it's just that simple. That's the world we live in. People have to work on Wednesday night. We got to work 24 hours a day. You know what I'm saying? That's what we got. Now, according to our society, that's what we have to do. Everything's got to be open 24 hours a day. Because if it's not, you can't make money. So we get caught in that. Just like the truck drivers and all that stuff, and the nurses and the doctors and all those people, the technicians, they get caught in that, get stuck on second and third shift. You can't do anything about it. 7 days a week, you know, so I understand that. But I just said everybody's not working and everybody's not on vacation. So all at one time, every day, every Wednesday, you know what I'm saying? For their thrones were set for judgment. The thrones of the house of David. Okay. Excuse me. The thrones of the house of David. For their thrones were set for judgment. The thrones of the house of David. What is that saying? Do you notice that it says specifically thrones of the house of David? How many thrones have there been coming from the house of David? How many have there been? Okay, Solomon was next right after him. How many thrones were there after that? Yeah, but he's going to be the ultimate king on that throne. But there were thrones from David's line on that throne, not necessarily people that should have been there. You know what I'm saying? And on the throne, but I was just saying that there are thrones of David, and that's the reason it says thrones. Let me back up. For their thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. They were put in place. What does the throne represent? Right, authority. They were set in that place of authority by God. Now, was all of the thrones that were in Israel, were they occupied by godly kings? No. But that didn't change what it was set up for. It was set up for judgment, for justice. It was set up for leadership. Do you see what kind of condition our country is in because of the leadership we've had in the past decades? It makes a difference, don't it? What kind of leadership you have. God is trying to say that the throne, the righteous throne, is set up for righteous judgment, for righteous leadership, for righteous authority. And we know that that went awry. You notice that David is saying this while he is king. He's making a statement that that is the reason for this authority. It's for judgment, for justice, for righteousness. It's too bad it didn't stay that way, but it's going to return there, praise God, one of these days. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to sit on that throne in Jerusalem, what a day that will be. Look what it says. Look what he says. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Like I said, the name means city of peace. And there's been more wars fought over this city than any other city in the world. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Do you pray for the peace of Jerusalem in your daily prayers? I added that to my prayers quite a while back, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I don't know exactly what it all means, but I know it's the city of peace. And I know that one day, all the nations of the world are going to come to Jerusalem to worship the King. All the nations of the world. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Yeah, I need some prosperity, don't you? Do you love the people of Israel and love Jerusalem? Yes, we do. I do. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. You know, the Word of God tells us way back in Genesis that those that bless Israel will be blessed. It's a blessing to Israel to pray for her. The bulk of Israel is lost. They're lost. They're still held captive to this works system. To work for your salvation. They're held captive to it. There are some that's been saved. But the bulk of Israel is lost. We need to pray for their salvation. I do. I pray for their salvation every day. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's the only way that peace will happen, is when they recognize their Messiah, the Prince of Peace. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. Is there anybody in here that can use some peace within your walls? I think when we pray, I think when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I think that's turned around on those that really mean it, and it'll actually bring peace into your own home. Hey, whoever blesses Israel shall be blessed. When you're asking for peace for Israel, I think it's reciprocating. I think it'll come right back on you. That's a blessing. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Okay, now, this is where the rubber meets the road for us. I want you to listen to what that says. Now, we know that we're talking about the tabernacle. We know that we're talking about Jerusalem. We know we're talking about Israel, the children of Israel. But you've got to see yourself in God's Word. This whole thing applies to us as the church today. I'm not preaching replacement theology. No one can replace the children of Israel. God has got a plan for them. If you don't believe me, read the, clean through the book to the book of Revelation, and you'll find out. God's got a plan. He's not done with them. And we have not replaced them. God just created something. You know what I'm saying? He created another race of people. They're called Christians. They're unlike any other human beings that's ever existed, up to and including the children of Israel, because we have the Spirit of God in us. And He is conforming us to the image of His Son, to be like Him. We are the bride of His Son. We are unique to any other race of people. We have eternal life with Him. Those that have trusted Him as Lord and Savior. Listen to this last verse again. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. I wonder how many people that claim to be born again believers, children of God, are actually seeking the good of the church. With what they say, what they do, how they do it. Yeah, I'll even say with their attendance. Are they actually seeking the good of the house of the Lord? Gee, that's something to think about now, isn't it? You see, we need to remember that, because we are a part, all of us are a part of the family of God, the house of the Lord. This is a house that Jesus built. You know what I'm saying? This is a house that Jesus is building. On this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, that's not talking about the devil and his brood. The gates of hell, that's not what that's talking about. That's talking about death itself. Death itself has no hold on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have eternal life. Wow! I'm excited. But I have to bring this up again. I got to bring it back to this. You know, when Paul tells us we need to examine ourselves and see where we are in the faith, we can't just take that lightly, because we really need to take some inventory to see where we really are. Not once a year, like the corporations, but every single day. Maybe more than once a day would be good. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now, you could take that also, well, I'm taking it on a broad swipe, as being the people of God. I will seek your good. If you want to talk about the house of the Lord, which it's talking about, the house of the Lord is not a building. The church is not a building. It's the people. Are we looking out for the good of God's people? Are we looking out for the good of the kingdom of God? Good question. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have heard your voice.